Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. By the way, on the siblings thing, Katie from Queens told us on our comments page that she is still upset when one of her siblings told her about a major Christmas-related lie that happens to be one of those widespread ones. We're not going to give it away on the air, but I think you know what we're talking about. Now, books. Christmas lands on a Friday this year, meaning a 3, if not 4-day weekend for most of us. And while you may be tempted to watch football or go out to a Christmas movie, it also might be just the right amount of time to tackle a good old-fashioned book. Sarah McNally, the owner of McNally Jackson Bookstore in Soho, is with us now to give us some advice on what should be on your weekend's reading list. So grab a cup of cider, find your favorite couch spot, and curl up with the perfect book or the soft glow of a Kindle. Sarah, welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
Don't forget, we want your comments on what books you're going to read this weekend, what book you're reading that you love, what book you just read, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or go to our comments page, click on Brian Lehrer at WNYC.org. Sarah, can you curl up with a Kindle?
You're asking the wrong person. No, I could not curl up with a Kindle, but I'm not open-minded, I think, to the experience.
So now, how many books can you get through in a 3-day weekend? What's a reasonable ambition?
I don't know. There's no books don't take the same amount of time book by book. In a 3-day weekend, I could often read 2 books, but depending on the book, sometimes I might only read half a book. I think for something like a 3-day weekend that's an event, like a holiday weekend, you might want to choose a book that you could read in a 3-day weekend to make it a discrete experience.
So what are your top recommendations? Maybe let's start with some fiction books that people might want to curl up with this weekend. Maybe, you know, take time out from the family or that they could start or finish on an airplane.
Right. I have some actually very good Christmas ideas. Thinking back on Christmases I've spent with my family, I think it is very wise to choose books that will kindle in your heart love for family and appreciation of family. And there have been some really terrific books that came out this year that just reading them will make you feel warm about your siblings and parents. The one that immediately pops to mind is called Lark and Termite by Jane Ann Phillips, which is really a sibling love story. It's for men or women. It's extremely far-reaching novel. It takes place in the 50s between West Virginia and Korea. So there's America, there's conflict in Korea, there's all sorts of things happening, but it is at heart a family love story that is very beautiful. Another one that came out this year, which is also a novel, is called A Happy Marriage by Rafael Iglesias, which is just a beautiful portrait of a marriage, a happy marriage. It unfortunately is the plot of it ends with the wife dying. She's ill, but it's a reflection of a wonderful life lived together. There's a third novel called
Is there a risk, though? I mean, let me just sort of talk to you about the happy marriage book. If, like, maybe you're in sort of a strained kind of a family situation.
Exactly.
Is there a risk in reading a happy marriage book?
I think not. I think that is, within every marriage there are kernels of joy that you can focus on. But the third novel and final novel that I'm going to recommend for families is almost like a middle-aged male chick lit, and it's a very problematic family that is portrayed. It's called This Is Where I Leave You by Jonathan Tropper. And I think it might be perfect for people with more troubled families who love each other regardless.
Let me just sort of rewind that. You said middle-aged man chick lit.
It doesn't make any sense. But yes, that's
so
what I said.
So is the chicklet equivalent for middle-aged men?
Exactly. That makes more sense.
It's not a sort of war story or one of those sort of stereotypical male big epic sagas. How about any sort of, old saws, old favorites? Any ones that you think are particularly good, like if you've been meaning to read, I don't know, War and Peace or Anna Karenina or, Tale of Two Cities, what should you pull out this time of year?
This time of year for old books, you mean if you're sort of stranded at someone's house and you just have to work off their bookshelf? I think it's always worth remembering when thinking about classics that very few books become classics by being boring or mediocre. Almost anything you're going to pull off that you've heard the name of 100, 200 times is going to be worth your time and probably plot-driven and gripping. If you just give yourself a minute to adjust to the different rhythm and language of the book.
Is there anything on your list that you've been meaning to read that you haven't had a chance but you're going to actually pull out this year?
Oh, God, there's hundreds of books on my list. I have a way of reading. I mean, working in a bookstore, there's a risk of being sucked into the new and always having to read what's new, because if someone comes in and says, have you read Wolf Hall, the book that just ran the Booker, and you haven't read it, you feel like a bit of an idiot, which I haven't read it yet, and I do feel like a bit of an idiot about it, and it is on my list for this Christmas because I will read it. But I try and alternate always with a contemporary book and an old classic. So this Christmas I will be reading The Leopard, which is, you know, probably the... It's the best-selling Italian novel in our store, and it's a classic. And Wolf Hall, which is a contemporary novel, so I always try and balance back and forth.
We have a couple of listeners who are recommending Too Much Happiness by Alice Munro. Have you read that book?
No.
Have you heard about that book?
Oh, and of course, and I've read almost everything by Alice Munro, but she's I whenever she has a new book, I save it for when I really need something special. I think she's she's one of my favorite living writers, I think. I just found last summer a copy of Lives of Girls and Women that my mother gave to me when I was probably 13 years old. It's inscribed in the front from her, and it's now, you know, I'm 25, 30 years old, this book, falling apart, and you know, it's a cherished possession. Alice Munro is wonderful.
Devil in the White City is a recommendation from Stephanie, who is writing on our Facebook page. Any other nonfiction books that...
Well, if you like Devil in the White City, a lot of people here even preferred his next book, Thunderstruck, which is the same idea of gripping narrative history.
Any other sort of, kind of nonfiction books that might be good for a good weekend or three-day weekend read?
Yeah, there's a lot of things. There's New York Review of Books just put out a great travel writing book called The Way of the World, which took place in a young man's first trip in the 1950s. He goes through, I think, Yugoslavia, and it just has a remarkable freshness. First of all, it kind of uncovers a world that's almost forgotten, but it just has a true vibrancy, this young man discovering the world for the first time. There's a memoir that's been a favorite around our store called When Skateboards Will Be Free, which is by... kind of we sell it saying it's perfect for people who love The Daily Show because it's a memoir of a political childhood and this person kind of coming of age and reconciling the socialism of his parents with his adult understanding of the world. And yeah, those are two that we're selling very well right now. The Way of the World and When Skateboards Will Be Free.
Let's take a caller to Marlene from Long Island City. You had a book you want to recommend?
Well, there's several books that I love that I would recommend, but right now I'm reading Both Ways Is the Only Way I Want It by Millie Malloy, mm-hmm. and it's short stories. I think it's a good weekend read. Mm-hmm. A quick read is The Dan Brown Lost Symbol, which is a lot of fun, not great literature, but it's engaging. And there's a very interesting book called The Interrogative Mood by Paget Powell, which is all questions. The entire book is questions and kind of lead you through some very interesting thoughts.
Thank you for your call, Marlene. Let's get some recommendations now from Susan from Merrick.
Hello.
Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I've been reading Barbara Kingsolver's new book called The Lacuna, and it deals with Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo, and it's a wonderfully written book. But if I could recommend an old book that I love, anything by Jane Austen, but in particular, Pride and Prejudice. If you have nothing to do for the weekend, it's marvelous.
Thanks for those recommendations, Susan. And David from the East Village, you have some recommendations?
Hello.
Hi, David.
I'm not going to finish any of these, but between now and New Year's, the easy reading is Farmer's 2010 Almanac. The medium reading is the Book of Luke.
No, wait a sec. You read the Farmer's Almanac
through? I got somebody a Christmas present, and I had to buy myself one, too. And it's really cool light reading. Benjamin Franklin. And the medium reading is the Book of Luke, and my favorite is Joyce's Ulysses.
Thanks for those recommendations. Sarah McNally, any comments on any of the books that our listeners just recommended?
That's it's always so interesting. It's always so interesting. That's what I love most about my job is just our whole business model is built around not selling too many of the same book, but selling, you know, hundreds and thousands of different books. So in any event, I was going to one woman who recommended short stories, and I was going to say I do think short stories are a really great idea for if you're going to be in a house filled with family and distractions, that you could just sit down and gobble up a short story. And there's an exciting collection came out. It's called The Uncollected Stories by John Cheever. And for anyone who, I mean, probably every American has read some John Cheever, these are his early stories, and they're not suburban. They're Depression era. They're very exciting. It's worth everyone picking up this book.
All right, and here's what's on my night table for this week. And I actually just finished American Salvage by Bonnie Jo Campbell, and I just thought it was beautiful short stories. And I'll tell you guys next week if I finished reading, which I'm very looking forward to, my colleague Beth Fertig's book, Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? And that is also on my night table right now. Thank you so much, Sarah McNally, owner of the McNally Jackson Bookstore in Soho. Thanks to everyone who called. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Happy New Year.